The Missing File. This is Dr. Herbert L. Barley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with Talk for Today. The Missing File. In our life, we have many things that turn up missing. We wonder, where did it go? What happened to it? It was right there in front of us before we knew what to do. And then we go back to basics, like on a computer. If the computer has a problem, the first thing that you learn to do in your computer Scientology, in your computer science, is to shut it off. You don't try to figure it out. You don't try to go through all the ramifications of how it might work or how it might not work or what's going to make it work, what's going to change it from not working to working. And you just shut it off. And you leave it shut off. The same thing goes with the printer. The Hewlett Packard printer. When you have a problem with the Hewlett Packard printer, installing the program or something, first thing that you do is just completely shut it off. They like you to unplug it. Take it off of the internet or take it off of the cable, the USB cable that plugs it in. And then wait a few minutes, 5 or 10 minutes, it better. But wait a few minutes. Actually, a second would make the difference. But what's going on is that the computer and that the computer in the printer and the computer in anything, in us too, is sort of recycling itself and recirculating itself and getting itself back in order. Now, when we misplace something, if we say, I lost it, we stop looking. We stop looking. But if we say, I misplaced it, then we keep on looking around to see where it might be. Well, the best way to find it is to stop, shut off all the circuitry, meditate for a moment, and quietly go within, listen within, and when you listen within, the divine path within you that knows where you left it, that knows where you put it, that knows how where it is right now, all part of universal substance, the divine path within you says, oh, this, or it may not even say this is what you do, you just go and do it unconsciously, you just go and do it without thinking why you're doing it, you just go and do it. And when you just go and do it, there it is. There is what you were looking for. There is what was lost. If you say lost, you're not going to look, but there was what was missing, what you misplaced. And probably in the most strange places. I think the best illustration of that is the illustration of a person who wears glasses. And they put the glasses on top of their head, which is an easy thing to do. And then you go about doing something, and they say, where did I put my glasses? I can't find them anywhere, you know. And you look in the mirror, and you'd see them, but of course you don't look in the mirror. But you just put your hand on top of your head, there are my glasses. How about that? You know, how absolutely silly. Well, when you stop and just let yourself realize that nothing is ever lost, it's just misplaced someplace, and to be misplaced, it has a place to be missed in. So you allow yourself to just think about it and come up with a solution of where it is. I've been listening to some Tony O'Connor music from Australia and New Zealand areas, and it's nice music. But it's not too pleasant, because at the beginning of the music is applause, and at the end of the music is whistles and applause. And I may not have thought that about that music. I may have thought that music was a nice meditative music, was a nice peaceful music. And so I went through 8 or 10 of Tony O'Connor's pieces, and as I went through them, virtually all of them had applause in the beginning and applause at the end. And I thought, gee, I had never really noticed that before, because I really wasn't concentrating on what's going on. I was listening to the music and not paying attention to the extra stuff. How interesting it is that in our life, we have all these other things going on that we're not even paying attention to. But our consciousness knows it. Our mind is aware of these things. And our mind knows what's going on. Our mind knows what is happening. Our mind knows what we're thinking and what we're doing. And we should always believe in our mind. We should always believe in our brain, that it has the ability to know all things and to reveal to us whatever things we'd like to know. So if we ever misplace something, our brain knows right where it is, and it can reveal it to us as soon as we stop thinking that we've misplaced it. As soon as we stop, so to speak, looking for it, we find it. This is just part of the principle. It's part of the principle of prayer, part of the principle of meditation, part of the principle of living, having relationships with people. You just let go and don't think a thing about it. You just let go and don't even consider where there might be a problem, where there might be a circumstance that concerns you. You just let go. If you're searching for something, you stop searching. If you're saying something and the word doesn't come to you, just think, oh, I know another word. Don't say, darn, what was that word? I can't think of that word. I'm getting old. I'm getting feeble-minded. I'm having Alzheimer's, and I'm having all this memory problem. And you see, whenever we cast those fish upon the water, that attitude upon the water, up it comes. And little by little, we forget one thing, we forget another thing. Pretty soon we've made an excuse for forgetting things. And as we make the excuse for forgetting things, then we have a reason to have the excuse, because we have forget and forget more things. We live in a wonderful world. In a world which, whether you are 102 or 1,002 or 1,002,000, always you know all things. Always you have the source within you of all information and all knowledge and all details that you might want in your life. And so, when we turn to that inner wisdom, when we turn to that inner awareness and don't try to understand it, just know that it's there. When we choose to use it, it's there. We'll find ourselves speaking in language that is far more profound than anything we ever dreamed that we could speak. We'll find ourselves telling things and saying things and knowing things that we had never any idea that we knew. We had never any idea that information was part of our information in our mind. And we are just amazed. We are just amazed. We have a very dear student, Irene, over in Switzerland. And she's a very precious lady. And she's going through a conversion in her life right now. And the conversion is that first she was working with preemies. She was working with babies who were born a little early. And she loved them, and yet she worried about them. And when she worried about them, she was not very beneficial to them. So she created herself doing another thing. She created herself working on the other end of the line with people who were getting ready to shuffle off their mortal coil. And as she did this, she wasn't happy with that, because these people were all getting ready to die, and she thought that dying was apparently not a very nice thing to do. And the judgments we make and the things that we tell ourselves are so unhappy. Now, so what is she creating herself doing? She's unhappy with these people because they're dying, and she has to be with them. So she goes on her own behest. She doesn't know why she did it, but she went to clown school. She learned to be a clown. She learned to be funny. She learned to be smiley. She learned to bring a sparkle into the lives of the people as long as they were under her care. And she was a clown, and she treated all the people with the joy of her heart. Then a very dear friend asked her to perform a funeral. And so she performed a funeral. But instead of having the funeral be a celebration and a graduation onto another level of consciousness, another dimension, she took it to heart that the person died, and the family is mourning, and the family is feeling sad. Well, you can't afford to do that. Your purpose there is to lead the celebration, the delight in having had these people in your life for however long they were there, and the delight in seeing them graduate sometimes and as a child so soon and as an adult at the right time, for who's to say what the right time is, but to graduate to the next level of consciousness. Now, when we make all of life a beautiful showcase of the magic of beingness in us, revealing to us what our steps are in life, nothing is ever lost. Nothing's ever misplaced. No one ever leaves before the time for them to leave. And you say, well, a little child dying, isn't that a terrible thing? No. It's terrible for the parents because they're going to miss the child. But if the parents have any wisdom, they'll say, we are so blessed having had the child with us for this period of time. We're so happy the child chose to be in our world for even the few years that he, or a few months or a few days that the child is here. And you see, when you look at life as one great, glorious celebration, and each celebration is unique and special, it makes me think of the presidents and the night of the president's inauguration, the night of the president's taking his office. And then everybody and their brother wants to give a party for the president. And the president thinks that's wonderful that everybody wants to give him a party. And so the president goes and makes an appearance at all these parties. And they're dashing from place to place. Well, it's really not a big deal. You look at it as a big deal. I look at it as a big deal. But what's he doing? He's having a celebration. He gets in a chauffeur-driven car. He walks into the party. Hi, guys. Thanks for celebrating with us. And has a drink with him and dances with his wife. And says, okay, we're off to the next one. We're off to the next one. And so the party goes on without him. But he was there and he made his show. And he's not tired. He's not tired because he's not worried about it. He's not saying, I wish I could stay longer. I wish I could do this. No, no. My evening is to take in 75 balls, you know. 75 balls. I mean, anybody's saying, that's crazy. So 2 o'clock in the morning, he's done, you know. And you think he's tired? No. Because each one was a new celebration, was a new birth. Because each one of these groups of people love him. They bless him. They are delighting in him. They're celebrating his birth as a president. They're celebrating his birth. And he is filled with that joy, and he's filled with that enthusiasm, and his wife is filled with it. And the two of them think, wow, what a great thing, what a great thing. Now, they could make protocol and say no more than 5 or 7 balls on the inaugural evening, you know, and then through the week, you know, have more, you know, like 5 or 7 for 7 days, you know. But no, get them over with. And he has comfortable shoes. He has the finest shoes you can buy. You can be sure of that. And they fit comfortably. They're not going to hurt his feet. His wife has beautiful shoes, too. She's not a fool. She knows that she's going to be on her feet. She's going to be dancing and going around. And you see, the celebration of life. And this is what Irene, I would so enjoy her doing. To celebrate the life of each person, not the death. to celebrate the graduation to the new experience. The president's having a new experience into the office of the president. And the people who have died, they're celebrating the new experience of moving on to another dimension that we have no idea about. And we can only know that it's good and very good. So, there we go. Where are you on this road? Where are you? I think Irene will wake up and she'll put a smile back on her face, and she'll take the tension away from her face, and she'll take all of the anxiety away from her face, and she'll feel a bright new person born new to this. And you too. You too, who think that everything in life is so important that you got to correct everybody and you got to help everybody to be good, and you got to look at everybody to make sure that they're all minding their P's and Q's. And hey, you're not on the protocol committee. You're not in charge of other people's protocol, other people's activities, what they're supposed to do. You're just in charge of your own. And your own is a life of festivity, a life of balls, a life of harmony, a life of celebration. Every single moment is a life of celebration. And this is what Rex is teaching me. Mm-hmm. I walk the path with Rex, and he looks at me and he says, "Dad, I'm waiting for you." And so I catch up. He says, "Okay, now you're all right. I can go and play." Then he goes off and plays, and he runs in the bushes, and then he goes up ahead, and he'll sit there and wait for me. He'll say, "I knew you'd make it sooner or later, you know." he's run around miles while I've walked feet. But that's normal. But his life is one continual celebration. And what's he doing when he's theoretically not celebrating? He's taking a nap. He's getting his energy for the next celebration. And everything he does is a celebration. When we have guests at our house, the first thing he does is to bring me my shoes. And he wants to say, "This is my dad's, and this is where he is, and this is he's the boss, you know." And he's wise. He's very wise. If everyone would realize what Rex realizes, life would be a lot easier for everybody. But, c'est la vie, I realize it, and so that's all that matters. And you see, that's all that matters. I'm not living my life for anybody else. I'm not putting on a show for anybody else. And I don't lose anything, because everything has its place and is wonderful. So think about these things. When your computer bombs, shut it off. When the printer bombs, shut it off. When you bomb, stop. Relax. Meditate. Stop. Just sit in a chair. You're right in the middle of something important. Well, what else am I going to do? Sit in a chair and say, peace. Take your deep breaths. Just like the computer is reorganizing itself. It's resettling itself. Even when it's shut off, it's resettling itself. Everything going back to its normal, original purity and integrity. And you and I, when we are bombed for some reason, we just sit for a moment and relax and let our peaceful thoughts bring us back into balance and into order and into harmony and into peace. And Irene, that's the way I see you. Yes. And several people are calling in for healing recently, and they're wonderful. And I see each one whole and perfect. And I talk to them, and I see each one whole and perfect. And there's nothing more for me to do except see each one whole and perfect. And I see each one whole and perfect. And I talk to them, I encourage them to see themselves whole and perfect. And as they see themselves whole and perfect, then they too return to their original purity and integrity, and it's done. But if you're going to keep looking at the problem, it won't solve itself. If you keep looking at the lost item, it won't work. If you look at the computer that's not functioning right, everything is out of order. Let go. Let go, as the saying is, let go and let God. Let go and let the divine in you reveal its perfect pattern, and everything works out in divine order. Have a lovely day, and know that I love you. I love you. I love you.